Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReynolds.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show, we talk about how to measure strength and force in the clinic.
The Ask Mike Reynolds Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure you knew about my free online course on the Introduction to Performance Therapy and Training. If you want to learn how to get started optimizing and enhancing performance, this is the course for you. Head to MikeReynolds.com/performance to sign up today. Welcome back, everybody, to the Ask Mike Reynolds Show. We're here answering your questions, anything you want to talk about. Head to MikeReynolds.com, click on that podcast link, and you can fill out the form to ask us a question. Anything you want to talk about, sports physical therapy, sports performance, career advice, we're here for you. Just head there, and we'll keep answering if you keep asking. So let's see, who's here today? We got Kevin Coughlin, Dave Tilley, Duesh Patel, Lenny Macrina, and Jonah Monlock. Good little group, a little more intimate group today. I like it. But here answering your questions. We're almost outnumbered by students today, Len.
I see that. I'm making sure I've accounted for all of them. They're like gremlins, they keep multiplying. But we have Brady from left to right that you guys will not see because you don't watch videos. We have Brady Cannon from Franciscan Monks of the Universe down in Louisiana. We have Mike Bearden from Georgia Southern. We have Sean Riley from Creighton. He gets a haircut every day. We have Brenna Hammer from Duke and Michaela from St. Francis University. Michaela Meyer from St. Francis University.
I was like, did you mean to do that?
Coffee hasn't kicked in yet. But I will point out, we have a cannon and a hammer for students this semester. So give me a good one.
Which is pretty good. Len, I know a lot of our listeners enjoy your accent. Can you tell us what Brenna's full name is again, slowly?
Brenna Hammer.
You would not be good in Boston, Brenna. That's a tough one for us. So I love it. That's awesome. All right, students, who's up? Who has an amazing question for us today?
All right, Christy from Florida. She has a two-part question. So part one, what is the best way to measure strength for an outpatient clinic?
And then the second part of that question is, How do you choose a handheld dynamometer, something not too cheap or not too expensive?
Awesome. Was that the first shared question we've ever had? I like that. Two students, Mike, Sean, you guys nailed it. Great job. So let's see, Christine, right? So really good question. I do like the two part here. And I think Christine actually started to answer the question a little bit here, but like, how do you measure strength well in the outpatient clinic? And then she wants to know specifically about handheld dynamometer. So I'll start with this, and then maybe we'll jump to the PTs and talk about what we do. But I'll talk about why manual muscle testing isn't enough. We've talked about this probably in the past. We always say this, but you know, we think it's super important to actually quantify that number of strength, right, or force output, right, to be specific. But we really want to quantify a number, and that's super helpful for lots of reasons. But the main reason why we do it is because manual muscle tests, it's really hard to detect subtle differences and weaknesses, right? And you know, you've had patients, right, that you've probably had that were a little weak. They go back to the doctor. The doctor said, no, your strength looks awesome. And you're like, ugh. You're like, no, their strength's not awesome, right? It's because manual muscle testing isn't perfect, right? So one little internal study we did back in the day, and we probably had over 100 subjects, so this isn't a small study, but we tried to find what was the detectable difference in manual muscle testing, right? And we found that to get a 4 out of 5 in manual muscle testing, you had to have 85% strength of the shoulder, right? So you could be 13% weak, and we think you're 5 out of 5, right? Our hands can't detect that subtle difference. And I'm sure that number's a lot higher with like the knee and the hip and the bigger joints, right? So we just know that about the shoulder. So that's why we quantify. So PTs, I'm not sure, Kev, Len, Dave, who wants to start this and kind of talk about, you know, why we use handheld dynamometers and just your feedback on dynamometers, but let's give her some info on the how and the why, I guess.
Yeah, I can jump in and say, I was just talking to someone the other day about this, is that you don't realize what you don't have until like you go to another clinic and you're using it regularly. So like I worked another job and I like did, you know, grad school kind of MMT stuff like that. When I got to Champion and we were doing dynamometry for shoulders, and then shortly thereafter, we started researching the hip and doing it for that. And then we got the Dynamo to do it for like knee extension and hamstring. Like, and then you start putting it as part of your normal routine and you realize like, oh man, like I really was letting, I don't want to say letting stuff slide. It's just like, it's just crazy how much information you didn't have to make clinical decisions. And so I think for me, handheld dynamometry is oftentimes like a very important chunk of data for us to have internally to compare against, like to look at like a baseball player off season or in season, or a gymnast will look at their hips, you know, in season versus postseason or whatever. But it's also a really big educational tool for the patient, because many times the people that we work with, they're not feeling discomfort or pain until they do something very high level, right? So we worked with someone yesterday who's a professional like circ acrobat, right? And she didn't have any pain at all until she did literally a triple back off trapeze. And it wasn't until we did her dynamometry testing, she started to feel some soreness with max effort testing, but we could show her ratios of like ER to IR and like her cuff strength. And she was like, oh wow, like I didn't realize like I had that big of a deficit on the side. It makes sense why my shoulder hurts. And then now we can track that across multiple months. So yeah, I think it's a really big educational tool for the patients, and it's a very important like you know, flag for us to keep looking at numbers throughout serial measurements.
Dave, I love that. I love how you put both into that, right? It's not just us. Of course, that number helps us a ton, but the educational value and the person seeing that number, that really hits hard, right? That hits them hard when they see that number. And then you know our patients now. How many of our patients come back and they're like, "Can we test today?" Like they want to test. And they're like, I want to get 40 today. You know, like they have these things. It's an interesting thing. So awesome. Good stuff. Kev, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Dave made a lot of good points there, where whether it's just educating the patient and, you know, sometimes they feel symmetrical or they feel something's off, and the manual muscle test just doesn't get us the information we need. And that being said, I think and I don't know about cost. I think you or Lenny could speak to this better, but and we have the Vald platform, and the Dynamo that we use with them is awesome. But prior to that, we're using the Lafayette. I think that can go a long way too. That's kind of a standard run-of-the-mill handheld dynamometer. And then I think if you do purchase something like that, the important thing would just be to standardize whatever joint that you guys decide to test. So when we test baseball players and we test the shoulder, we have a very standardized way we do it. We set them up the same time we set them up the same way every time. We use the same cues. And then, you know, if you're doing other joints, say like the hip, there's a lot of literature out there on, you know, ways you can standardize the testing. And you just want to make sure that as a clinic, you're all on the same page. So then if I test someone I'm seeing one of Lenny's patients and he asked me to strength test, it's going to be reliable. And then if you were to test, we get the same thing. So I think once you have it, working as a clinic to standardize, everything's going to be really important as well.
I think that's actually enormous feedback, right? And what Kevin didn't mention too, because Kevin's been doing this for a while now too, there's a learning curve, right? You have to get comfortable with, you know, having consistency with setup, consistency with cues, consistency with like the way you apply the pressure, for example. Like there's lots of different things. So a standardized setup is like step one. Like if you don't have like a set protocol that you're following, it's gonna be really hard. But remember that, like, there's a learning curve with dynamometry. So keep that in mind. You know, at least if you're doing it side to side, your poor reliability will be symmetrical, right? Until you get better at it. And you'll kind of learn over time. But I usually tell people it takes months. I think it's a while. But yeah, you know, Kevin brought up a couple of different devices. I'll say this with the devices, we've tested some of the cheaper ones. So, you know, the low hundreds, like $100 to $300 type thing. And we've been using like the $1,000 give or take ones for 20 something years, right? So we're really familiar with dynamometers. The cheaper ones between 1 and 300, we actually did some comparative studies just internally again in the clinic looking at this, is they just weren't reliable. The numbers were all over the place. So I don't think you should get like a really cheap dynamometer. I don't think that's the goal, because the expensive one's $1,000. You're talking about a product that you can amortize over 5 to 10 years, right? Like that shouldn't be that big of a cost for a clinic. Even with us as a small cash-based startup at the time, you know, we saw the importance of that. And you could argue it's marketing too, right? They see the numbers, they're doing something there that they're not doing elsewhere. It's a good purchase. So I'd say don't skimp out and buy a $300 one or a $1,000 one, right? You know, versus the $1,000 ones. It's not that big of a difference, right? But one other quick point, there's another one, that Tyndek that everybody's kind of talking about right now. The Tyndek one's pretty good. So the Tyndek one, and I haven't done a bunch of extensive testing on it, it's pretty good. But the only reason why I don't use a Tyndek and we don't use one here is it's just a pull-based dynamometer, not a push-based dynamometer. And our preference here at Champion is to do push, unless you have the big joints like knee extension or knee flexion. But otherwise, we want to do a push test. And I do think that's a big difference. And again, it just has to do with setup. It has to do with technique and you know, just a couple of tips on that. But Dave, did you have something you wanted to add?
I was just going
to
say, Kev said this the other day, and I want to say it for him. He said, if you interview at a clinic and they don't have a dynamometer and they're not willing to entertain the conversation of getting $1,000 dynamometry, which will help the entire clinic, you should find a new place to interview.
It's one of those things. You're right. We're not talking about like a $20,000 purchase. Like, I don't even know if $1,000 would be a capital purchase for somebody, right? That's not that big of a purchase, right? So I would say I wouldn't hesitate. Lenny, not to draw attention to your age, but tell us about Isokinetics, right? So you and I used Isokinetics back in the day. We haven't used it in years, right? I think they're becoming less and less used because they're huge, they're expensive, right? Like, what's your experience and what's your thoughts on Isokinetics? And are you happy or are you satisfied with not having an Isokinetic machine anymore?
They're still out there. What is it? CSMI, I think he's a local guy out of Massachusetts who has a device that I think is known, probably will be at some of the shows that are coming up for APTA. But I think there's definitely value. I think that was considered the gold standard. There are studies that do show you can use an isometric pipe contraction that would correlate to an isokinetic value when you're doing, for example, ACL testing. So we have resorted to isometric contractions because it's a smaller footprint in the clinic, like you said. It's definitely cheaper, and it gives us the information that we need to make a determination on, you know, quad strength, yeah, hamstring strength. That is probably not as good as isokinetic device, but good enough. And again, it plays into the value of the test and all that. So Isokinetics is good, very good. It is the gold standard. You know what I mean? At different degrees per second, measuring strength and speed and power and all that. But I think us using Vald, you know, going back to pricing, we use Vald for our pushing and pulling testing. It's about $1,000 ish per year. It is a subscription. So, you know, be ready for that. Or you can get the Lafayette or Microfet devices that are now around $1,500. We just bought one for our other clinic, and it was about $1,400-$1,500. So it's no longer $800 or $1,000. The market has increased. People are using it more. So I think that's why, you know, the price went up. But it's the same device. It's the same older device. Makes no sense. So be ready for that.
It was $800 10 years ago. It's not more expensive to manufacture.
Yeah, and now it's about $1,400. Yeah,
right. That's pretty funny. As we move past Isokinetics, right, there's going to be some new technology, right? The Proteus is, you know, again, like up and coming, you know, device that's coming up. There's going to be new ways to measure stuff. So I think we get there. But, you know, in addition to handheld dynamometry, one thing that I think we've embraced here at Champion, and we have a couple of our strength coaches on the call today too, that can do this, but we're using force plates now too. And I think, you know, between, like, let's say a lower extremity person, an ACL, with a handheld dynamometer and getting some force plate data, I actually think we get a ton of data. So Dewey, you want to start off a little bit here, but like, how are we using force plates to measure strength and force in this type of setting? And like, is this something that you think like every PT clinic should have? Like how much valuable info are we getting this out of our patients and our athletes?
Yeah, I would say once you have some systems in place to be able to extract the value in the data out of the force plates, I think it can be very, very valuable. I know on the training side of things, and I'm talking to you guys, the way that we're able to be a little bit more specific with our programming and our coaching has definitely gone up. So on the force plates, as far as like true strength testing and force testing, we've been doing isometric with dipole, right? So just a max effort isometric to test lower body strength. We can get some RFD measures out of it, but it's mainly to just, you know, take a look at peak strength and then look at relative to body weight peak strength. And then we can also look at, you know, it also spits out like a net peak force. That gives us an idea of your baseline, you know, isometric strength value. But then the other stuff that's probably a little bit more in depth is the force metrics and the power metrics that we get from our jumps testing, right? So whether it's a counter movement jump or a squat jump, using a stretch running cycle or not using a stretch running cycle, that's been able to give us a ton of value and data as far as symmetry, but also where you stack up against your peers. You know, whether you've had an injury and you're trying to rehab and get back to where you were, we can compare you to your pre-injury data and see where you are compared to that. So it's been a lot more precise as far as our progress goes. So I would recommend PT clinics and gyms to definitely start thinking about some of this stuff as far as purchases. You know, obviously it is an expense, but if you can have systems built around it, it will provide you a lot of value and it'll allow you to be a lot more specific with your programming and your coaching.
I think that's great. And think about too, like force is force, right? But how you use that force could change. And I think that's where the force plates really help, right? It's not just about strength, but how you can use that strength for force production, right? How fast, you know, how can you dissipate that, those types of things. So I think you get like another layer, I think, of information that I think is important. Jonah, we'll end it off with Jonah a little bit here, you know, from your thought on the sports science stuff, you know, taking those force plates, taking that extra bit of data, what are your thoughts on this here? Is strength enough? Do we need to look at this like together in a continuum with force production? But like, what are your thoughts on just how we're using force plates to look at this in our athletes?
Yeah, I think early on in someone's training journey or coming back from an injury, just tracking basic strength works really well, which you can do that even just by tracking their training, giving them opportunities once a month or whatever to do like a set where they do as many reps as they can with the weight they've been working, and tracking that gives you good basic info. But then you do definitely hit a point where you need to be able to get a little more specific, dive into what is somebody's true weakness or what is their strength leading into the season. Like, we want to build on the things that make them really good, which being able to look at a wide range of data, everything from like max force output in an isometric strength test, like a mid thigh pull, to more dynamic tests like a counter movement jump, as well as something more elastic like a hop test, gives you kind of that full spectrum picture of who is this athlete in front of you. And I think one of the biggest benefits of the isometric mid thigh pull is it does take some of the skill of lifting out of things. So there's certain people, say you have a 6'5" lanky individual, they probably don't squat all that well. So this takes some of that skill aspect out, and you just find out how much force can they produce without the limitations of their levers and the way their body's built. So it does help you get a little more objective data that's easier to compare from person to person and take some of the other kind of aspects out of it. But using that holistic picture of data to figure out where somebody needs to improve, whether it's after an injury or just a general training client, is certainly quite useful.
That's awesome. And I think when you put it all together, like we have here today in the episode, you can get some really valuable information for people. So, you know, our tech stack, you know, we've kind of talked about this, but we use the Vault Force Plates and the Vault Dynamo Plus. I think it's the Plus or the Pro, the Plus, the one that you can push and pull, because we do like to push and pull. I don't like to do just one, right? We mostly push, we do some pulls with the knee. But you know, putting that together with force plate data, I actually think that's, I consider that affordable, and Lenny can say, you know, we're pretty conservative, right, with our budgets and stuff at Champion. I think it's worth the cost. So hopefully that was helpful, Kristen. Good question. I think a lot of people are having that. And I'd love to see the profession kind of shift in this direction, because the more information we can have, the better. So we're returning people back to sport when they're ready, right? And we're maximizing, right? Because just like, you know, like everything else, if you're not, you know, testing, you're kind of guessing. And that's not in the best interest of each person. So great question. If you have anything like that, head to MikeRonald.com, click on that podcast link, and be sure to go to Spotify, Apple Podcast, rate, review, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. We'd appreciate all those things. Thanks so much. See you on the next episode. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeRonald.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeRonald.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.